For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am here. It's been a while since we've been here, but you know, the Jazz have done stuff, so we should talk about it. You can follow me on the Twitterverse at Who Trusts Superman. That's HUUTRAN Superman. What's up, folks? This is another edition. It's the we're already in March edition of Hitting of the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse at Who Trans Superman. That's HUUTRAN Superman. Wow, take two went a lot better than take one, folks. And we are here. We're here to talk about the Jazz. We're, 60-ish games, 65 games into the season. We're here. This guy's going to be replaced as host by ChatGPT in about a year. It's Jerry Barker. What's up, guys? This is 49.
Ain't not much, man. I'm considering retiring that handle, though, because I feel like being off of Twitter has been really good for me. But Logan tagged me in a tweet tonight, so of course I had to see what the heck it was about.
It's interesting that you're off Twitter, but you're not off Twitter. So,
I was, but only for like 2 weeks. I don't know.
That's half a Lent. So, and here, Dragon Squatch. So, what do you want to talk about? Yeah. Are you pointing at the are you pointing at the WrestleMania sign?
I don't have one of those in my house yet.
Yeah, not yet. That was a comment for Stabler and friends. He loves Cody Rhodes. So,
Cody Rhodes. Chody Chodes.
The American Nightmare. But this is not a WWE podcast. This is a Jazz podcast, and you know, the Jazz played the Magic tonight. They snap a 4-game losing streak. I was about to say winning streak because in some circles it is a winning streak. We're here, and you know, it's been a while since we've last chatted. You know, the trade deadline is, I hate how it is, but like the trade deadline is sort of the unofficial, like we know what teams are going to tank, what teams are going to start going for the playoffs at that point. And this year was really not much different. We started seeing some teams, well, at least the Jazz, kind of choose their way. Logan, this is something that we talked about all year. Like, we kind of, like, beginning of the year was like, just choose a direction. Are you going to win or are you going to lose? The Jazz sort of chose a direction, but, like, I mean, I know that you're not really happy about it. I think we're seeing people's true colors or true fandoms of what they want. I mean, how have you been for the last month?
Indifferent for the most part, but then when I do take the time to watch it, drives me crazy. I mean, I chose to chime in during the Oklahoma City 2 games and the Spurs 2 games, so it was not the, I don't know, that's like the worst version of, I guess, tanking. Hard to watch, gross to watch, disgusting to watch, but I guess they've been competitive the last couple games, so I guess that's easier to swallow. I don't know.
Yeah, like when I say you see people's true colors, because like tanking, like, I mean, this is tanking, and you really have to have the stomach for it, you know? And not everybody we can, like, some people, and that's the thing, like, I know that you, in the macro, you don't want the Jazz to be mediocre, you don't want the Jazz to, you know, be a perennial 7 seed, 5 seed, first round exit, but the path to get there is not always one that everyone wants to follow. Jared, you know, I know that you've been a tank noter for a while, and, you know, you're one of these people who are upset, like Lauri Markkanen, right, like, oh, why aren't the Jazz shutting him down? But what, I mean, we're starting to see the Jazz choose their path, choose their adventure. How do you feel about where the Jazz have been this last month?
I mean, in some ways I think that it's kind of been nice just to see that they're trying to figure out what they have with THT. And, you know, obviously I do feel like Colin Sexton is still, like, they're concerned about his health. With Kessler, I feel like a lot of people were just like, oh, he got kneed in the back that last game. Of course he's fine and can play again. It's like, I mean, the Jazz played Kessler tonight. Like, are you serious, guys? Like, I just don't understand the way people kind of pick and choose, like, what they believe from, and they just say, oh, well, obviously the Jazz are tanking tonight. Obviously they're not tanking this night. I mean, it's just weird that people go back and forth about that kind of stuff. Like, it really matters. Like, all I really care about is that the Jazz are actually trying to figure out their future in a more meaningful way than it feels like they have been for, I don't know, the majority of the season.
Yeah, you guys don't need to worry about me. I have game one. I've told you what I felt about this team. So, well, fuck this
Jazz team. Yeah, well, Alan Zog beat us all, though. I mean, yeah, he looks like they're going to hit his win total.
And he must be happy about that. I mean, I guess. I mean, I just it's hard for me to be
He was. Happy. When I was at the game with him, he was happy about that.
What was his win total? 38,
39, something like that?
It was 38, yeah.
I said 35.
Yeah, like, I guess. I mean.
Oh, man, it's going to be super close between Logan
and
I said 30. I said 35 and I said San Antonio and – San Antonio and Indiana are the top two picks. I was off on Indiana, but
I mean, because
I don't know.
I hope the Jazz.
Indiana can still get there.
I mean, there's a lot of people who don't even want the number one pick. So I'm like, all right, I guess. I hope the Jazz get number 14 picks for the next, you know, 10 years and see how that works out for them. So,
well, I mean, everybody's. I mean, I swear, like half. Maybe it's because most Jazz fans know that Wembanyama is probably not going to happen. That they're already trying to talk themselves out of him, because it's like, look, he's taller than Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant's so injury prone. Of course, it's going to be his future. Yeah, I'm like, sure.
I mean, we're going to talk ourselves
that
into
that might happen.
We're going to talk ourselves into anybody that they're going to draft, and that's fine. It's okay. I think there's a big difference between drafting LeBron James and drafting Chris Bosh, That's just where this is what the podcast has been for the past year, and so I feel like we've said what we've got to say. Nothing's changed. I still hate this team.
Well, I do have a question for you though, because you're really upset about the fact they didn't tank. What else should they have done?
I know, and like that's the thing is that
it seems like they took a lot of steps to do it. They just didn't know.
And that's the thing is that
no one of these guys would be that good.
I think Utah Jazz, like I'm a Utah Jazz 47. I think he sort of asked the same thing, and I thought about, like, you know what? Front office did as much as they could. I think I don't think there was any other moves they could have done. I think, I mean, if you really wanted to, not stealthy, you want to make it really known that if there was ways to hold guys out longer with their injuries, then you could. But the Jazz did what they could. They're just destined for mediocrity, I think, and so I've accepted it. You know, I've gone through the seven stages of grief all year. You know, first it was denial, then anger. I'm now at acceptance that, like, all right, this is what the Jazz are going to be. They're probably never going to be a championship team, and I'm just cool with it now. So I'm like, whatever. Which is why
it was interesting the way he phrased it up like that, because I hadn't really thought about it. You kind of got wrapped up in the 13-2 start, and they're holding on to some guys. And like, when you look at it from a removed perspective, I mean, they did. They unloaded their franchise cornerstones, not knowing that they were going to be getting back Lowry, who may be on the verge of all NBA, you know, second or third team, and then Kessler has turned out to be a stud. I mean, you had no idea. And I guess they could have unloaded the rest of those veterans earlier on, but I don't know. We didn't seem to get shit for those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
we got maybe a first round pick out of that, right? And really, if it's top four protected, like, to be worth it, it's got to be like, what, maybe in the top eight. So you're hoping that that specific year the Lakers are just shitty enough to be like the fifth or the eighth pick, so we really didn't get anything for them, right?
Well, I mean, I guess I see it, because a lot of people are very mad about the trade deadline trades. And You know, because everybody, I think we all, Jared and I talked about, like, we may have all over, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, just overvalued our guys.
Yeah, there we go, overvalued
them. Ken Clayton was really eloquent on that podcast about, like, the value situation. So if anybody out there is listening and is interested in that, I would go back and give it a listen.
Yeah, just stop our podcast, go listen to another podcast, and you don't even have to come back to this one. So we will get your click.
No, I'm talking about Ken Clayton on our podcast.
Oh, on our podcast.
Monster.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so here's the thing. So now drafting a superstar or drafting like the next generational star is probably not going to happen for the Jazz. But there's still, you know, I mean, depending on who you talk to, there could be some depth. There could be somebody interesting. And because of the way the Jazz franchise is right now, there's a definite gap that someone can fill. A rookie can come in and have a Donovan Mitchell type rookie year. And there's gonna be some talent in there because like Lauri Markkanen is not somebody that needs the ball a lot. So you can get another interesting rookie in here with one of your three picks, probably one of those two picks, and they can be. I'm trying to think of somebody like they can be Julius Randle type level, like somebody that's not, you know, somebody that's a multi-time All-Star, but like not somebody that you want to. But then you also have Lauri Markkanen, so you have two guys that are in that Lauri Markkanen range. And this is where you're like, okay, can you go trade for Luka, right? That's something I poo-pooed earlier in the season. It's gained a lot of traction. Is Luka available? Like, can the Jazz use that Lakers pick that they got in the trade deadline? Can they use these other, you know, three or four picks that they got, package them maybe with Walker Kessler, and go get somebody, right?
The thing to me is like, why is everybody latched on to Luka? I don't feel like he's going to be the only option. Is it just because it seems like people think he's going to be the readily available option? I just don't see Mark Cuban trading him, like, if he has any other options at all. So I don't know.
I think that's the thing, is that, like, everybody's looking at the tea leaves and trying to make the case that there's not going to be another option. If Kyrie blows up the team, leaves, if Luka has nobody else to play with there, because I thought Luka was still on his rookie contract. He's already in his extension, so there's a chance that he does what Donovan Mitchell did, secretly.
Well,
or
he's in, like, year five, right?
He's foreign.
Yes.
He's white.
So, I mean...
Oh, jeez.
All Jazz foreigners. Fan base. No foreigners will leave.
Because that's the thing, is that, like, the Jazz traded away a 25-year-old Donovan Mitchell, so now they're going to have to, you know, for this to work for them, they're going to have to go trade for a 25-year-old.
Oh, that's right. We had Rudy for 9 years, so all foreigners will stay, of course. Right.
I mean, that's...
Jerk.
I mean, that's...
Giannis.
Yes.
Wembanyama.
Yes. I mean...
like, Logan, you're good at this.
Like, the Bucks are still so good that Giannis is not going to leave, you right? But yeah, I mean, it could be Luka. I mean, I don't know who the... I mean, Trae Young is available, but is anybody really excited to give up the farm for Trae Young?
No.
He's not available anymore. He's firmly in the Quinn Snyder
penthouse
right now, so you got at least 2.5 more years before that disappears.
Quinn Snyder to the Hawks, guys. Yeah.
Hey, man, that gets it. His commentary on the Hawks has just been like, oh, man. Yeah. Every time a Quinn Snyder loss where they blow a fourth quarter lead is amazing.
So
yeah, he quote tweeted that presser the other night. And it was like, oh my god, like it is like Quinn Snyder is up to his old tricks. It's like
he's tricking those Hawks, man.
Rinse and repeat.
If the Celtics fall in the second round, does Jaylen Brown excite you guys?
I would love Jaylen Brown on this team. I feel like him and Lauri would do some real damage. I mean,
is Jaylen Brown, Lauri Markkanen, and whatever draft pick you get? I mean, it could be. Yeah, I mean, I can see it.
I mean, I feel like if you get one of the Thompson twins or, like, maybe that Miller kid, maybe that's a really nice team.
That's pretty high.
I don't know.
Those are if you get a top five pick. I've accepted the Jazz are getting number 12 pick, but...
Oh, you're accepting 12? I don't know who's going to fall to 12. And honestly, I really have no idea what to make of this draft because it feels like every single, every fourth draft gets this much hype as this one does. And I do think the first two guys are pretty legit.
And that's why, I don't think you're getting a franchise guy. I think you're getting another Lauri Markkanen type guy. I think you're getting a Julius Randle. I think you're getting, Julius Randle's a good player. He's a multi-time All-Star. Domantas Sabonis, multi-time All-Star. Like, you're not getting somebody by yourself that you think, like, all right, cool, this guy is by far, you know, in that top echelon. But you get somebody that, like, okay, yeah, like, he's good. I just think there's a certain tier that the Jazz are going to get.
And there'll be a ceiling of being, like, a top four seed team.
And that's fine. But, like, that's the thing, is that now the things that the Jazz are... You know, Logan said it last time he was on the podcast, like, maybe the Jazz have to build a different way than just drafting a guy, you know? That's what my mind goes to,
is, I mean, the hope and theory, and there are some signs of it better, more than ever, that the NBA has a little more parity than it's ever had, right? And maybe that continues. And you, I just don't, it seems like we're, and I think you guys are touching on it to some degree. It feels like Jazz fandom and Jazz Twitter is just trying to regurgitate what other people are doing, right? Like Donovan Mitchell did this, so we need to do this. Or this person did this, and so we need to do this. And I don't think that it really matters for us because we just have a different set of circumstances. So I don't know. I mean, I think that I don't really know. Unless you build something unique or out of the box, you get extremely lucky. I don't know what the answer is, because even those franchise players, it's very rare for them to get to championship level within a year or two, right? And really, like we've seen with superstars, the window in Utah is very, very small. So
yeah,
maybe the closest thing is like what the Raptors did a few years ago, where they had a really solid team and went all in for a year rental of a superstar. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the weird,
right?
That's happened once in 77 years. So mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I don't know. That's,
I mean,
my only hope.
And then
is
Danny Ainge swinging for like a, you know, Kevin Garnett type deal.
No, I mean, I joked about it tonight, and I said that the Knicks versus the Kings was an NBA Finals preview, you know, tongue in cheek. But I am curious to see how those two types of teams actually do
right
in the playoffs this year, because there are teams that are devoid of the typical right superstar team. They just got a lot of really good players. I'll be curious to see how that translates, because I think that's more of a realistic hope for Jazz fans than what it is to do whatever. I don't know. I don't even know that drafting a superstar matters, because I think by the time they develop, they want to get the hell out. So,
right.
I mean, I guess you'd rather have that, I suppose. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. And I really don't
Josh know. Johnson got to you, Logan. Josh Johnson got to you.
Who's that?
That's a J. It's like J. JJ something or other.
J. Jizzman.
I mean, and yeah, here's the thing. True. Like, there are going to be problematic, quote unquote, problematic guys out there. You know, Kyrie Irving's. I don't know why he was the first one, or like the only one I can think of, John Morant's
racism.
Can those guys if you get a couple of those guys, will it work? I don't know. It's just the thing is, like, the Luka thing is only if things go really wrong there. But and the Jazz, you know, like, they won't do the Ben Simmons, they won't do the Kyrie Irvings. Jazz fans were like, oh no, they want people who are clean of their hands are clean of, like, you know, Kyrie Irving's got baggage, right? They don't want anybody that has baggage. And I don't know, maybe you do take someone that has baggage, and then you're like, all right, whatever, because winning cures all. And
Danny Ainge isn't afraid of the baggage.
He's not, yeah. So I mean, so that's why, like, when we talk about the Lakers pick. I think a lot of people that followed that along with that, they kind of think that pick is going to be used more to package together. Like, all right, cool. Here's four picks, two of them protected, two of them unprotected. And
yeah,
it's a light.
A throw in to get something.
It's lightly protected. Like, it's there's a difference between top four protected and like lottery protected or top 20 protected. Like, there's you know, 80% chance it conveys. And so these picks, even like these picks that if you keep them, the hope for the Jazz is, because we're seeing it with the Wolves, if you don't own your pick, these teams are it's very unlikely that these picks are going to be top five, because teams like the Wolves, on years that they don't have the Cavaliers, on years that they don't have their picks, are going to play till the end of the season. They're going to try to find ways to make the play-in because they don't have anything else to play for because they don't have the pick. You know what I'm saying? So those picks, regardless, are not probably not going to be top five, but the hope is that you get good in 23, 20. Like, you get good enough that by 25, you don't need to drop the superstar. You don't need a top five pick. You need a top, you know, 10 pick or top 15 pick, because your team, it's like when Donovan, Bojan, like, if the Jazz had top 10 picks or top 15 picks when they had Donovan, Bojan, Conley, and Rudy 2 years ago, they could have drafted some real good depth. Instead, they got stuck with the 27th pick, and, you know, they're drafting, you know, Doak, right? So you just have better chances of getting depth pieces with those picks that are coming up, but you have to be good by then and hope, or, you know, use them to flip for players. So, you know, players like Walker Kessler, who Logan is starting to turn on, or Logan, there's this thing that Jazz Twitter does to you that once they start writing a guy really hard, you really start to go the other way.
Yeah, that's my, I guess it's my natural contrarian personality, but it's just, I have this underlying sense because they, I don't know what it is. I had some long tweet one time about because the Jazz were a center away during the Stockton and Malone era, that Jazz fans have this in their DNA that they have to just get really cucky over any sort of big man that looks decent. And I'm not saying that Kessler hasn't been great. He's been a very pleasant surprise, but there's a lot of games I'll be watching and I'll see people just jizzing their pants over Kessler on the timeline. I'm like, are you watching this? Like, he's been great, but I mean, clearly Laurie's the reason we're in the game, or Jordan Clarkson's the reason we're in the game. And it's just, I can just see that. I'm just looking into the future where I can see, again, overvaluing a Kessler when, again, great, but there's going to be this same Rudy Gobert factor where we, as Jazz fans, and trick themselves into thinking someone something that they're not, because Rudy Gobert was not what Jazz fans made him out to be. Right. There's just no real way to slice that.
I like,
you can try your best, but it's facts are facts.
I like that you said cucky. So
they do get super cucky, especially if they're big white guys.
And then lots of bukkake everywhere.
So
Jazz Twitter will take an average looking white guy and just really make him like, I mean, the amount of fawning over the timeline over Bohan just blows my mind to this day. I mean, I would say he's a below average looking individual. I think I went on that rant about his.
You did do that. You did do that.
They were kind of, they were all excited over his chest.
It was either on here or on Twitter or both, but. But the Walker Kessler situation is interesting because I know people don't love McCade. He did say something. This is really interesting. That he said he thinks that McCade. He thinks that Walker might be, because like if you're trading for, like, if the Jazz are going to trade for a superstar, the draft picks alone probably won't do it. It has to be a young piece because look at the pieces the Jazz got. Walker Kessler was that young piece for the Rudy Gobert trade. Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton were really the young pieces for the Donovan Mitchell trade. You go back, the Kevin Garnett trade that Jared mentioned earlier, that was Al Jefferson centered. And so, like, there's usually some sort of like young piece that, like, hey, they may be a pick, like, they may not be all stars yet, but they're young enough that they can.
That same effect that Logan was talking about earlier with the Jazz fans loving centers. Big Al had that same thing going for him.
Who?
Big Al.
I mean, it was a different game back then. So there's definitely reasons for he was gifted offensively, but yeah. So like,
you're right. Now Kessler does seem like the guy who's the young throwing piece that gets over the top. And if it yields to Kevin Garnett, then
right. And I guess my thought is that Kessler for me is not the number two or three guy. He's like, man, if you have him, that's cool. But you need to have like three really great guys in front of him. You have to have like three really good guys, and Kessler's a nice complimentary piece. Like, he's not going to.
Feels more like your fourth or fifth guy.
Like, he should be Jakob Poeltl on a championship team is what I think he should be. Jakob Poeltl also part of the Kawhi Leonard. Like again, there's young guys, so it's interesting that there are a lot of Jazz fans who are like, oh, we already have our top two guys, and I was like, really, like we're going to. I mean, I think Lauri Markkanen is a little overvalued. Not a lot, but I think a little. I think Lauri Markkanen is a little overvalued. I think Walker Kessler is overvalued in that sense. Like, I think he's a good piece, and if you have a big three, like, he should be your Jared Allen to what the Nets had, right? He could be the Jared Allen to what the Cavs have. And so, like, Walker Kessler is nice, but I don't know if he's the, he should be one of your top three guys on a championship team. I'm just kind of talking about like, all right, cool. So, and sort of the same thing that Logan's saying is like, oh, is he, like, do you want Brooke Lopez to be your top, like Brooke Lopez works because they have Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton and Giannis. So,
yeah, I mean, and he provides like great defense and a semi-consistent outside shot for a big man. So,
yeah, it's just Brooke Lopez would be like the dream to get, but again, he's your fourth guy or so. So,
If Rudy, if Rudy Gobert era taught anything, that super role players can't be your second or third best players. All it comes down to, really.
So
I'm gonna do this every time you try to shit on Lori, because I love Lori so much.
I don't
believe he's overvalued. I think the majority of what I see from Jazz fan, and there's a few weird people who like to think he's a one, but I think most people have a realistic expectation that they think he's the second or third best player on a good team. So, I'm
seeing a lot different. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. There's this.
It's just how the algorithm is trying to piss you off, because they know that strong emotions evoke a, you know, emotional response. So you'll tweet something that'll start a Twitter fight, and then more people will click on it.
That's the crazy thing, is that, like, when he came over, I was a real big fan of Lauri Markkanen. I was like, okay, like, he's reached his max potential.
He's good.
But
the real secret is that who hates him, because he's the reason the Jazz couldn't fully tank. Lauri was so fucking good that he just that's what it all comes back to. Is like, we talk about, like, here's the thing. I could have embraced the tank if we would have been bad enough, right? But it's all just this fucking mess now, where I think they tried to. There's no way, we talked this, there's no way they had any clue that Lauri Markkanen was going to be that good. There's no way the Cavs would let him go. And so he drove the bus. And maybe that did cause them to hold on to Connolly and Clarkson a little bit longer. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking. I thought, because you and I talked about that. We said, you know, when can the Jazz do this? When they can't do it now. That wouldn't be in good taste, right? And then he went out and just traded four rotation guys for nothing when they were still technically in the playoffs. So really, my theory of you were right, who they were never going to come off their plan. So any thoughts of any success or failures that didn't, because they did. They essentially just gave up four dudes, and you're right. I mean, that's what Adam Bushman told me too, that hopefully that Lakers pick is just a packageable deal, because really, to be worth it in my eyes, it's got to be like somewhere in the top 8 to 10, right? I understand that's why I say 4 to 8 is, because otherwise you traded four guys for a 15th pick. That seems pretty shitty. Right. But anyways, I'm going on a thousand different.
Yeah. I mean, here, I think really, there's this, like, the thing is that, like, when we like 15 pick when you're not good or not looking for a championship, it's not great. Like, it's just not where you want to be. If you're a good team, though, if you're a team that's in the top, you know, if you're making the conference finals every year, and then you're having the chance to draft, you know, either late lottery or, you know, just in that area, man, you have a chance to get depth pieces, but the Jazz have to get there. And can they? Like, that's the thing, is that, like, can they? And, you know, I think whoever the Jazz will probably get one, maybe two rookies that look good. I mean, that's the problem is, or not the problem, but what the Jazz have next year is opportunity. Opportunity for a rookie to come in. I mean, I think the dirty secret that I have is that I think a lot of players are just similar, like similar style, not style of the play, but similar in the tiers that they're at. Like, you have your LeBrons, you have your Durants, you have your Giannis and Currys that are just sort of in this stratosphere above everybody else. And I think that's where Victor can get. I don't know if he will, but, like, he has a ceiling. Anthony Miller has that same ceiling. I think Anthony Miller, but you also have, like, the Paul Georges, the guys who are really good. But, I mean, Paul George by himself didn't really do a whole lot. Like, he got Indiana there.
I mean, he went to the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, but then they never, like, the thing that he got there, and that was kind of his ceiling, right? And then that's when they're like, all right, we need to pair him with
Westbrook. Well, beating LeBron is really hard to do, so, I mean.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a definite tier break between LeBron James and Paul George.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you have Randall and Sabonis, and that's kind of where I put Mark in, like, maybe just a small tier below that, which is like, all right, cool, these guys can be multi-time All-Stars, but your team's not guaranteed to go to the conference finals with those guys that are number one. So,
So you're feeling like he's kind of in that Drew Holiday tier, right?
Well, so the thing about these draft picks is that, like, I think, you know, again, the reason why I wanted a top, you know, or like top four pick at the beginning of the year, because I think there's maybe two, three guys that can get to either that LeBron James tier or at least the Paul George tier. And then, but then there's guys who are going to be in this. What I'm afraid of is the Jazz draft Gordon Hayward. All right. Like, Gordon Hayward, when he was here, like, he started off slow, but eventually got to an All-Star game. And the and
you know, the Jazz right after.
Well, the Jazz got lucky. The Jazz got lucky. He bolted because the Jazz were about to give him a little money.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's my fear is that you draft somebody and you see the flashes, you see he can be good, but he doesn't come out right away, and then you're like, oh, I mean. I'm not trashing on Gordon because Gordon came in the time when the Jazz needed it, but man, like you want someone just a little bit better than Gordon Hayward, for this team. Oh, I think so.
Well, I mean, the big mistake was Gordon Hayward over Paul George, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is, you know, it looks. I mean, it didn't look awful for the first few years, but
yeah there, but after those first couple of years, there's
definitely a different tier. So. That's my fear, is that you're going to get somebody in this draft, and because of the opportunity that presents itself with the Jazz, you're going to draft somebody that is like Gordon Hayward. And not style play, I just mean like, okay, look at his career progression. He got to an All-Star game. He's a max contract player. He's got two max contracts, so he's not awful, but he just never was that guy that you wanted to be your second or even third best player on your team, you know? So... I don't know. I mean, am I making sense, Logan? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know deserves another I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. I'm talking, and then I thought I had a fully formed thought, and then it never.
No, really got I mean, there. I think it's just. I think that should be the theme of that should have been the theme of the season. Is I don't know. Like I guess you try to, you can view this however you want, and none of the views are really like super. Super like exciting when if you're being realistic about it, right? Like it does feel like mediocrity, good team, not great team is what all signs point to. So it's not super, super refreshing or exciting to look at. But I just don't know. I guess that's where I'm just kind of like, I don't know what they could have done differently. Cause I don't think, I think they tried. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know what the draft picks turned into. I mean, that's true. It could be a Gordon Hayward, but it could be, Donovan Mitchell. They could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the one takeaway from this, I guess, because I just want to try to find something new. The way you're viewing the draft picks is beneficial to me because that's not the way I was viewing all those picks, right? I was viewing those picks as like they need to be high lottery picks or it's not worth it. But you're right. I mean, if you're good and adding depth in the middle of the first round is a lot more beneficial than. So I mean, maybe that is something we never have had that treasure trove of things before, right? Right? So,
it's a lot easier to use those to like, and maybe not even those draft picks may even convey because or not even convey, but like, you know, might even use them because you're good, and like maybe this is the difference between trading Bojan in a year when we could have traded him, like Bojan plus a draft pick could have got you an upgrade of somebody, you know. Right. So, like, I mean, like the Jazz liked Bojan, but like, oh, maybe we could have used. I don't know. Like, maybe they needed some, but they had no more draft picks because they used it all for Mike Conley. So, just you know, they're good pieces to have in the tool chest.
And that's the one thing. At least I guess I have a little more hope than I would have if this was the old regime. It does feel like at least this group of leadership isn't afraid to pull the trigger and do things differently. Right. Mm-hmm. The old Jazz would have never done this. They would have. Right. Written it out for as long as possible. So when I do start to think back to Danny Ainge's histories and some of the stuff he's been able to pull off, that I guess that's where I do have a little bit more optimism. Is like you said, I mean, we still don't know. There's going to be the Jazz are going to have a significant amount of cap space, and there's already a lot of rumors floating out, and not necessarily about trading for a good star, but maybe a rehab project, right, or something else. And then maybe you can flip that again for something else,
right?
Or
John Collins.
John Collins or Ben Simmons, right? Yep. So they flip that, and your worst case scenario. I mean, that seems like a win-win, right? Because either the player does rehab himself and he's a good player, and you're mm-hmm. then you got yourself another really solid player, or you then flip him for something else and just right. I don't know. It just seems like there's more. It's not just the availability of having all the different knobs and assets. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I think they're not afraid to use them. And
right.
So as I'm talking myself through this, while I was upset that we traded. Really upset. I don't think we got ripped off. I think the value that we got for those four players was the value. I don't think there was more value for it. But it is kind of at face value, it feels like a bummer. But as I'm thinking about it now, it does make me feel better because he still made the trade. Like he could have held on to those guys and made a play in.
Like I mean,
the old regime would have done that shit. They would have absolutely doubled down, said we're gonna, you know, we don't care. We'll find a player in the 20s to, you know, they would have the old group would have done that, and they said no, because really the difference of the Jazz. When they made that trade in the Jazz from a month ago, wasn't any different.
Honestly, I mean, quotes coming out of Will Hardy would have been like Ty Corbin quotes. He would have been like, "Hey, we're in for this playoff push."
Three. Yeah. Was that Will Hardy? Was that Facenko?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was Facenko for sure.
I think racism.
Yeah.
I've been told you're supposed to call out racism whenever you see it. So I see it, I just show racism.
That's why whenever I call you, you're just like racist.
Three months
ago. My picture pops up on your phone, and you just yell racist when you pick up.
You're racist. I don't like to give people labels. I just show racism in general. And let the public sort out what's going on.
Real quick, to your point, Logan, like 3 months ago, we were talking about the Mike Conley, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, they'll probably trade him. But like and then you're like looking at the contract, like, oh, they might not. Like, they might just keep him through, you know? Like, there was that real fear that they might just keep him in. I mean, they didn't, you know? And so the Jazz, I am mad. I'm just mad at the situation. I think the Jazz did what they could. I just, you know, it would have been nice to see a little more pro-taking earlier in the season. I think those games that they won early in the season, they all feel the same to me, so whatever. But yeah, what's done is done. And the Jazz, I mean, so real quick, guys, last thing here. Now that Jazz, I mean, we think the Jazz are pro-tanking right now, but, I mean, the Jazz are still in the mix either way to try to go get a top. I mean, Logan, what are your thoughts now? Like, I mean, you hate watching them lose. You hate watching, them, you know, those Oklahoma City games. I mean, do you see a value in them just going for the playoffs?
There's part of me that still feels that pull that would like to see them.
Right.
I'm drifting further and further away from because my biggest wettest dream was always Jazz make the playoffs and the Wolves fall out. But it doesn't appear as though that's going to happen. So
no.
I am kind of resigning myself more and more to the fact that maybe it isn't a good idea and I have to just swallow that pill because the absolute worst case scenario would be if the Jazz and the Timberwolves were both in the top eight in the West.
Oh, man,
that would be the worst.
I mean,
so the problem is the rest of like I keep waiting for because the Wolves aren't good. Like let's not fucking trick ourselves. And I hate the Wolves. Let me go on a rant for a second. There's not a fucking team I can't remember the last time I hated a team as much as the fucking Wolves. Like I hate the Wolves as much as I hated those Lakers teams with Kobe, Powell, and fucking Lamar Odom.
Andrew
Bynum. You know?
Andrew,
you know, those,
yeah,
those teams are just absolutely destroy us, right? Like I hated those teams so much. I hate everything about the Timberwolves, and you can read that for whatever it is. But anyways, the incompetence of the rest of the West is what pisses me off. Portland, pull your fucking head out of your ass. Oklahoma City, pull your head out of your ass. The Lakers are pulling their heads out of their ass for now. Like you know what I'm saying? Like if someone would just show, even the fucking Clippers, like these teams are too good to be just. They're better teams, and they're just. They're not doing anything to help us out. Those guys piss me off.
And
I don't think they're going to come around. I think they're going to be shitty, and so the Jazz has got to be shitty. That's
Golden State's pissing me off most of all, man. Freaking A.
My heart tells me I want them to try to make a play-in push, but I know that right now I don't think that's smart because no one else can just get their dicks out of the sand long enough to figure the fuck out.
Like you know, a current Tank Noker, Tank Noter, why can't I say that?
Tank's note.
About a month and a half ago when the Jazz were still kind of, he goes, man, the Jazz, like when they're still kind of winning and still like, before the trade deadline, he's like, ah, man, like, I mean, the Jazz right now are so fun, like, maybe they should go for the playoffs. And like, what's the difference between the 18th pick and the 12th pick? And I said, I think there's a big difference, but I mean, really, you're getting the same type level of players. You know, you're unlikely. You're not going to really find somebody at 12 that you're not that's or 18 or 12 that's going to be like the next Victor Wembanyama. You know,
yeah,
like they're all going to have some sort of
a sweet spot, baby.
I guess they're all sort of the same. So like, if they're going to like hit or pop, it's mostly going to be
honestly the All-Star game taught me I should not bring up one of those players that got drafted top at the 13th pick, right?
like Karl Malone.
Like if they're gonna pop, it's gonna be because of, you know, a little bit of luck, a little bit of scouting, a little bit of just opportunity. So I can see that point. Like I just made the playoffs, whatever. It has nothing to do with game enjoyment for me at all. Like I can watch the Jazz lose. It's not a big deal at all. but I mean I get that people don't want to see that. But yeah, so that's just me playing devil's advocate. Like, hey, you know what? Like, fuck it. You know, if you all of a sudden don't have the 14th pick and you have the 18th pick, you're not, it's not going to be a Victor Wembanyama level, like, disappointment, you know? So, you know, just go for it and have a winning season. And I don't know, people are like winning culture and stuff. I don't fall in that category, but I get it. And if you do, cool. So, but yeah.
The second thing the Jazz fans overvalue more than anything else behind centers is culture. The team's culture. There's no such thing.
The funny thing is that, like, I sort of fear that if I don't think it's gonna happen, but I put this up a month ago that Lauri Markkanen could be DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins was really good, multi-time All-Star, right? But because he was the only thing that the Kings had, that's probably what cost them that. You know, when we did that Kings podcast, like, looking back at it, the only consistent they had was DeMarcus Cousins, and they could never get any, like, they tried, they kept putting, you know, top 10 pick after top 10 pick next to him, and they just couldn't get it done. They kept missing on picks, and that was
my... Well, part of that is the Kings just have terrible lottery luck, and so their pick was always, like, either falling by a pick or two.
Well, that's because, like, I mean, yeah. and because, like, DeMarcus Cousins was always good enough to get them not in the top five, but because, that's, like, you know, like, they kept missing playoffs, right? Like, and that's my fear from a month ago. It's like, Lauri Markkanen's good enough that the Jazz will always be right there at the playoff cusp, and if you don't get help for Lauri Markkanen, you're...
He's good, but is he Boogie Cousins good? Because peak Boogie Cousins was really good, man.
Logan?
He's better.
There you go, see?
Like,
I have no racism!
Right, I think Lauri Markkanen is... that's the thing, as I think that DeMarcus Cousins tier is what, you know, Lauri can hit threes. Lauri can play inside. Lauri can... Lauri's not a bad defender. Lauri doesn't have...
They're very similar players in a lot of ways.
Like, crazy. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was a bully.
I think DeMarcus had more passing, like...
Well, he was a big bully. Like, he was big body. Well, Lauri's got some really good skills. But that's the thing that, like, if you don't have a second... But, again, I'm not saying the Jazz are Kings, because the Jazz have more picks to choose from. You know, even if they miss... Like, they're going to hit, even if they have, like, this 14th pick for the rest of the, you know, eternity, one of those 14th picks are going to turn into something that's even a second banana, you know, a Mikal Bridges. They have cap space to do stuff. I mean, is someone going to sign her? No, but they can trade for, you know, a rehab project or another superstar, right? So they're going to get help. So the Jazz won't have decades long of incompetence like the Kings did, because they've put themselves in position. But that was my fear. That was my Kings thought from like a month ago, that Lauri Markkanen is DeMarcus Cousins, and the Kings, you know, were never bad enough because DeMarcus Cousins always kept them in the playoff hunt. So
yeah, I have two quick Kings thoughts though, because I love the Kings. They're my new favorite team.
That's my shtick.
First, the Kings are seriously my most enjoyable team to watch in the NBA this year. So I guess I have three thoughts.
They really
that was
actually,
that was that was, a, that was my first thought. Second thought is the Jazz also don't have Vlade Divac chain smoking in the practice facility. So there's a big difference in the decision making going on. Then again, Ryan Smith may be like the third missing Mullet.
I don't know what Justin Zanuck's life is like.
Yeah, that's Ryan amazing. Smith got some strong. Ryan Smith got some strong Maloof vibes, if we're being real honest. So maybe that isn't a good thing. But you know, even
he's
if we
just
do
a little bit more tech bro, a little bit less casino bro.
Yeah, but what are the Maloofs doing right now? They may be tech bros. He may be a Maloof. But the other thing is, even if it does go full Kings, the good news is in 2034 we'll be lighting the Angel Moroni, baby. Light up the Angel.
Like, remember when we did the Kings podcast and I was like, oh, I think the Kings are gonna be six in the West, and everybody's like, whoa, and even our Kings podcaster was like, oh, you have them a lot higher than a lot of people do. I'm like, oh. And
dude, you were
look at that.
A savant. Bro.
I was on the train.
Went to Vegas and put down like 50K.
I was the conductor of that train very early. So,
oh hey, and you got me on board. Yeah. Honestly, like, I was like, man, who's got something with this? He's cooking.
I mean, the Domantas Sabonis trade last year was. I had made that decision a year ago that I was like, oh, these guys are going to be in the playoffs next year, and it worked. So, all right, guys, you know, it's been a while. The produce has been restocked. Let's go to Marnie's Produce Corner. First, I'll shout out Fox on a Box. We tried to get him on. I unfortunately had to work today, so I wasn't able to get him on. But I have his number now, so I can text him. He wants to be on. He's got thoughts. He's not problematic that I can see. So we're really trying to avoid problematic people. Jared, Logan, you guys have anybody that we need to put in the Produce Corner?
You put them in the Produce Corner. It sounds like the punishment.
Oh no, I know. It's very put baby in the corner type stuff. So
shout out to Bryant H2O. He's a good dude, and apparently he's in some city named Midvale that he relentlessly talks about. and Robot Shane for the anniversary of his underscore Robot Shane for the anniversary of his big car accident.
I didn't realize that's why they call him Robot Shane. I didn't know that half his body was
robotic. That's why he calls himself that, because he has
robotic. I didn't realize that he was half cyborg. So
he absolutely is 80% cyborg.
Yeah. Logan. Number one. Hi, Marnie. I was sad that she wasn't texting me relentlessly saying that she needed new episodes, but it'll do. So, Logan, anybody that you need to put into your mom's corner?
Yeah, I'll rattle off a few here. Eat the Lurch, Ryden Niner, Post Game Malone, Nathaniel Lloyd, NBA GM, Robot Shane, Brian 2-0, Tarkin Tangents, Beard Grills, 47 Brownies, Cochran Sports, Snoop. Oh, Snoop, that's interesting. Holy Ghost, Devin Lloyd. What the fuck are those guys doing in here?
Devin, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that is.
GOP Turd, Hefe Goldblum, Jazz Jargon, G Hadley, Bus and Barker, and T-Rex 96.
That sounds like a fun group chat. So guys,
I don't know what the fuck is, but I dropped a picture in there of Kermit the Frog with a massive member hanging out. So if they let me stay in past that, we know things are fine. I think half of them are asleep, so the morning will really tell if I made it or not.
That reminds me of the TikTok of like someone like playing Kermit the Frog on Omegle or whatever, and the girl's like, oh, I love Kermit the Frog, and then he like kind of shows his member. And she's like, no, why did you do like you see her childhood being like just shattered because this guy's making dirty Kermit. Oh so.
I actually had that picture so I could do one of my bad crops, and I put Joe Burrow's head on it.
Chat GPT.
Oh my gosh.
You guys saw the one I sent to you too of Michael
Jordan. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And hugging a big member. Chat GPT is going to be really good for you, Logan. Like you don't have to Photoshop anymore. You can just type in them like Kermit the Frog body with Joe Biden head.
What is it?
Chat GPT.
It's an AI thing.
Is this what I needed to make my Jason Mimosa?
Yes. That's what you asked for. So, yeah.
So what is it? Like an app? Or like, how about you guys say this shit like it's just easy? How do I do this?
So it's online. It's like basically people have coded it. So you can ask it legit questions and it will, or like say, write a screenplay or whatever. It will fucking write a screenplay.
It's a website? It's an app or whatever? Yeah, I need like.
Super, I think it's mostly a website.
ChatGPT.org, I believe. So
I'm not gonna remember that. Can you send it? Can you text it to me?
Yes, ChatGPT pays money. We might have sponsorships coming up. So
can you write it in a letter and send it to my home?
Yes, exactly. follow him on the Twitter. If you want current member, Kermit the Frog member picture, members of shit, whatever. Kermit the Frog pictures. So I'll say that.
I've also got naked Thanos with the head of what's the universe guy's name? God damn it. I'll send it to you guys later.
Thanos and the universe's guy. Bill Nye.
No, he's like the famous scientist. God damn it.
Oh, Tony Stark.
Neil deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse on Thanos' body, naked.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
What's the name of the show? It's Degrassi, right? The name of the show is Degrassi. Okay, that's the joke I was trying to make.
You were trying to make the
Neil deGrasse joke,
the Drake thing.
You can follow this guy. No longer go. This is 49. He is now at ChatGPT on Twitter.
At ChatGPT porn.
Yes.
Yep, that's me.
And and then we'll talk to you guys next time. Oh yeah, rate and review.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.